Hello and welcome to Subclass Act, a solo role-playing actual play podcast. I'm your host, James Schrall. Hey y'all and welcome back. It's been a hot minute. I'm not going to take too long. We're going to get into the episode. We've got a call from Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast. I'll quickly fill you in on some things that I've been playing, some things that I've been thinking about. It's been a while since the episode, so let's get back into the story as quickly as possible. But first, over to you, Jason.
Hey, James. Jason here. Just listened to your latest episode, and I've stopped right before you start after you did your intro part. Indiana Jones Pulpy sounds really fun. I would love to hear a season on that. That said, it sounds like you're excited to do Forbidden Lands, and I would be happy to hear that as well. I'm sure you have systems that would work fine for Indiana Jones. Obviously, Savage Worlds jumps out. Genesis would work, right? I don't think you have Ubiquity. So Ubiquity, of course, Hollow Earth Expedition. But yeah, I'm sure you have things that would work, but it sounds like that may not be your where you're looking. So maybe if you do a bonus episode or a two-part bonus episode with some kind of pulpy Indiana Jones kind of thing, that would be really, really cool. And then do Forbidden Lands for your main one since you're interested in that. I don't know. Honestly, I'm going to listen to your podcast no matter what you do. So it's all good. Take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon.
Hey, Jason. Yeah. Yeah, I am excited about Forbidden Lands, but you know, I'm excited about all kinds of things. As time goes on, I get excited about other games, kinds of games. So it is nice to have the feedback. I'm glad that Pulp sounds fun to you. It sounds fun to me too. I was thinking I could even use something like Index Card RPG, or lately I've been getting into the Tiny D6 games a little bit because I've been trying to run them with my kids, and they enjoy that. It's nice and simple. I've been messing with it. I've got Tiny Dungeons at the moment and Tiny Frontier. Tiny Frontiers, rather, Revisited, which is what I'm going to be using for the episode today. And I don't have it yet, but if I were to do Pulp, I might consider. They do have a Tiny Cthulhu, which it's kind of three games in one, it seems like, because it has Cthulhu stuff, but it also has Pulp stuff, and it has like noir stuff as well, which seems really cool. But yeah, certainly Savage Worlds would also be really good for that. I'm sure that there's probably some sort of OD&D hack for that kind of thing. So yeah, that could potentially be pretty cool. Yeah, Genesis would work. Really, any of the generic ones. Fate, I think, actually would work surprisingly well. But anyways, I'm glad that you're enjoying the episodes. It's been a while for everybody else since I got back, since I've been on the air, rather. But, you know, just normal life stuff, I've stopped sort of apologizing for it, because I think if anybody's listening at this point, you just get it. This is, unfortunately, you know, I just don't have enough time between the job and three going on four kids to have a consistent recording schedule. Maybe one day. I don't know. There's all kinds of other projects and stuff that I want to do. Games and adventures that I want to write. All these sorts of things. I want to do all the projects. I just don't have all the time. And I can't prioritize because I just do random things at random times, I guess. Anyway, I'm glad that y'all are here and y'all are listening. It's good to finally be back on the mic. Hopefully you're enjoying this mic. This is still the newer one, the Yeti. And I've been really enjoying that. And plus I have the fancy scissor arm thing attached to my desk. It's pretty rad. Anyway, yeah, a couple other games I've been thinking about. Like I said, the Tiny D6. I recently got I had the print-on-demand version of Master Edition, Index Card RPG Master Edition. I finally got the offset run, or the regular print one, and it's awesome. It feels very premium. It's very cool. I told Runehammer on his Discord that it could have been called Masterpiece Edition. I'm excited for his new game that he's working on, Crown and Skull. However, that's probably going to be awesome. But ICRPG Master Edition, I think, could have been called Masterpiece Edition. It's just so good. So I've been excited about that. Obviously, still Forbidden Lands. I have Blades in the Dark, which I haven't done anything with, but I've also been really excited about EZD6. I've got that. I've messed around a little bit with that. It's really quick and easy to get up and running with that. And White Hack. White Hack, I have the third edition of, I think it is, of White Hack. And it's really, really cool. And it seems like you could use it actually for a lot of genres. And it's got some really, really cool ideas. You could probably use it for just about anything. So anyways, that's kind of stuff I've been excited about. I'm, as always, excited about Monster of the Week. I've thought about trying that on the air. I haven't tried that yet. So I don't know. That could potentially be something. who knows how that would work out. I know that, I think it's Willona's Cave on YouTube. I don't know if he listens to this the show or not, but anyway, it certainly has a lot of really cool stuff. Go check out the YouTube on there. A lot of really cool solo plays. I think he actually only plays solo. I think he said on his channel he doesn't play in groups, which is kind of cool and interesting. And obviously he's been doing solo for way longer than I have, and that's awesome. He's got a bunch of games on there. Check out the YouTube channel. But yeah, I think he does a really cool thing. He does Monster of the Week with Betrayal, House on the Haunted Hill or whatever that's called. I actually do have a version of that because it went on sale a couple of months ago to get ready for the new versions. It was all like super, super inexpensive, really cool board game. And so I guess he used some of the stuff from that. That's something I haven't done as much, is sort of take stuff from board games. But I know that not only on that channel, but also on Geek Gamer's YouTube channel, that's something that's very common, is grabbing all these different, you know, tools and stuff, which I haven't really tried. I kind of do want to try that. It's a little bit hard the way my desk is set up with, you know, the space and everything when I'm recording. So that hasn't really worked out. It's easier to do more different kinds of things solo when I'm not recording, but when I'm recording, I get stupid brain. Like just now when I'm flubbing what I'm saying, I get stupid brain and I forget things really easy when I'm recording for some reason. And it's much easier to not do that stuff when you're playing normally. That said, I am trying to expand into other different kinds of things. I've obviously got all of my various random books of random tables, sort of the table fables, which are really great. Some of the oracles that I've got. But anyways, I try to keep it simple on the air because, again, I get the stupid brain. All right, so we're going to move on to it. We're going to get into this week's episode. I'm going to use a system I was going to use before, and I think I changed my mind at the last minute. I'm going to use some Tiny Frontiers, like I mentioned before. It's Tiny D6. The system is so simple, we'll go through things as we come up to it. What I like is that it's very simple to get started. It has some optional rules in it. It plays well with other things, so you could easily smash it together with any of the other ones. You know, Tiny Dungeon. If I did have the Tiny Cthulhu one, which I'm really trying really hard not to buy, but I'll probably lose that battle eventually because they're also not very expensive. And they come with a bunch of micro settings, so there's some ideas in there. That's actually most of the book because the rules are fairly small, but they've got nice optional rules as well. You can have alternate damage rules and armor rules. And what I like about it is it makes it very obvious. All games are this way, or should be this way, but this makes it more obvious than some, that it's really, you know, make it your game. It's, you know, very rulings over rules. You're going to hack it. You're going to kit bash stuff together. It might be kind of an interesting idea to take Tiny Frontiers and kit bash it with Tiny Cthulhu and add their mechanics, and you end up with something like Mothership or something for playing aliens type games or something like that. That might be kind of cool. I run it in non-solo games. I run a Starfinder campaign right now, and you could probably do some Starfinder probably just with Tiny Frontiers the way it's written, but you could smash together the Tiny Dungeons and really get sort of that Starfinder vibe. I know they have other ones. They have like, this is not sponsored or anything. I just think the stuff is cool. They have Tiny Pirates, which sounds really cool. Yeah, they've got all different kinds of stuff. A lot of really cool ideas from there. I like how it's simple, but that doesn't mean that you can't have some of the detail. It's never going to be, you know, Starfinder level of detail, but I think Henker Infernale has it right when he says that there's not crunchy games, there's crunchy tables. Now, obviously, some games are predisposed to be crunchier than others, but, you know, plenty of people, like, we try to keep, you know, play to the rules in Starfinder, but I'm sure that a lot of them we let fall away just so we can enjoy the game as we're learning it. And, you can take one of these lighter games and add more rulings and rules on top of it, house rules, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's probably right. There's no crunchy games so much as there are crunchy tables. And, you know, whatever works for the table is cool. Anyways, this stuff is cool. I've used Tiny Frontiers to play some Star Wars stuff with my two oldest sons. So, and they're only, you know, 5 and 3.5. So they're able to grasp it somewhat. They like their clickety clackety math rocks and all that. So anyways, we're going to get into it because, to be honest with you, it's been a while and I'm really anxious to figure out what happens next in the story. I hope y'all are as well. I'm trying to get these sort of cliffhangers in, and it keeps me wanting to come back for more. Hopefully it does the same for you. Again, you can always call into the show. Let me know. You can just send in recordings to James Schrall at proton.me. I put the email in the descriptions. If you have the old email and you're like, oh no, I sent it to your Gmail, don't worry. That email address still exists. I'll still get it. But yeah, email it in. Let me know if you want it to be on the air. I'll put you on the air. You can always email me as well, and I can read your email on the air if you want. Again, you can always tell me if you don't want to do that, but I appreciate the feedback as this is an always free show. There's no pay of any sort or anything like that, any way to reimburse anything, because this is just my crazy little project thing that I do. So anyways, without further ado, the episode. Ugh. Nicol is shaking a little bit as the ship rocks from side to side. It's accelerating. The android that is left is doing who knows how, who knows what. He's got some incapacitated crew members here, but there's no time to worry about that. He's got to figure out what's going on, keep the ship from lurching, figure out what's happening. I've now converted Nicola to Tiny D6. We're going to get right into it. I tried to convert him over. He has some... he's proficient in light melee because he's got his blade. He's got his carbine, but he's not proficient in that, so he's disadvantaged for now. Get into what that means. He's got the ability to cleave. He's perceptive. He's a brawler, and he's strong. That's as close as I can get him. He's a human. Quick, easy, 6 HP. That's enough of the system. Let's get right into it. Nicola goes around, goes out and searches to see what's going on in the hallway. Is there... Let's see, the android must have run out quickly. Is there any visible other sign to the damage? Does the ship seem damaged in any way? We're going to use basically a motif again here. Is the ship damaged? No, it's not. It seems to be... It's not damaged. It seems to be fairly... pretty much the way it is, which also means that it's sort of neutral. It's not good nor bad for Nicola. It is threes across the board, though. I'm going to pull out... I wasn't going to, but I'm actually going to pull out the motif page here real quick so we can get into the twists, because there should be a twist for this. I've got to say, motif has very quickly become my absolute favorite, and I think the best bang for your buck. An underrated oracle. Okay, so first off, let's see. So it's a turn, so we're going to have... I'm going to track them, so we've got turns and twists. I wasn't tracking them before, but we got one. When we get to the third turn, then there's a twist. So the turn we got with threes. It says, helpful non-player characters suddenly arrive. Oh, okay. I wonder if that means that... let's see. However, I think I know who this is who shows up. All of a sudden, they're... Let's see. They're not going to arrive on the ship, but Nicola hears a communication and recognizes that it's a communication from the Hiver ship. The Hiver ship has finally arrived and decided to help out. They're shooting at the android ship. They probably don't even know, actually, that Nicola is on the ship. So he's going to have to try to see if he can get to somewhere and communicate to them as quickly as possible. I don't think he has any sort of communicators on him. So he's got to look around for that. He is perceptive, so he needs to gain info or find hidden information. He has an advantage for that. So we're going to get to really the only other part of the system we're going to need to discuss much. So it's the basic test mechanic. You roll a number of D6s. And then if any of them show a 5 or 6, that's a success. So normally you throw 2d6. If you have some sort of an advantage, then you throw 3d6. If you're disadvantaged in some way, you throw 1d6. Something that's pretty cool is that far from canceling each other out in a net way, if you have a disadvantage and an advantage, the disadvantage always wins unless... you have a Xenotech weapon, which is sort of like a fancy, sort of Mass Effect-y, almost magic weapon, but like tech magic weapon, sort of the Ancients sort of a weapon. That's the only thing that can cancel out the disadvantage. Pretty cool. All right, but he's got advantage on it, so he's going to get to roll 3 dice, and if any of them come up as a 5 or a 6, then he succeeds. He's got a 5, yeah, so he does succeed. So he finds something. Let's see, is it... Does he find the communication array, or does he find a path to it? Or does he find some way to communicating, or does he find a path? So is it a communication device of some sort? Yes, okay. Yeah, he does find a communication device of some sort, and it's pretty close by. However, it is sort of in this android terminal, and it's not precisely the same as the other ones he's done before. Plus, he hasn't had a lot of luck with those. So we might be able to look. There are some hacking rules that I've actually never looked at on here. We might be able to do that. So we can maybe see if we can hack the terminal. It was a 2 on the favorability, so it's not very favorable. It's going to be pretty difficult. So let's see what we get here. How does this work? Okay, these seem like you can take damage. It seems like these are more like for playing like Shadowrun or something like that. Very cool. Not what we're going for here. So we're just going to see if he can hack this terminal. Before anybody were to show up, If he had as much time as possible, maybe we wouldn't even bother for that. He doesn't have any particular hacking skill. He's not exactly so he doesn't have any advantage, but he's not disadvantaged in particular, I don't think. So we're just gonna roll 2d6. Okay, yeah, he gets a 6 on one of them. So he's able to hack this terminal. It takes a little bit of time. He finds a way through and sends a communication to the Hiver ship. Hiver ship, this is Nikola Bratislav. Some of my crew is on here. Our ship has been destroyed, but do not destroy this ship. Do not destroy the ship yet. We still have the potential to take the ship. The Hivers come across and they communicate with text only. And they say that they are glad that he's survived. They will give him 3 minutes to take control of the ship. Otherwise, they're going to be forced to destroy it. So Nikola's got a time limit. He's not 100% sure how many androids are left on the ship. There's at least the one. But who knows if there are any that weren't involved in the struggle before. All right, he's got to make his way towards the bridge. Is he able to unobstructed make his way towards the bridge, or does anything show up? No, okay, he's not able to make his way towards the bridge. There is a bit of a challenge, but it's not too much. Okay, so what we're going to do is there is maybe a small security drone. Actually, there's maybe two security drones. What's cool about this game is the stats are super minimal. It's really just like their HP. They've got all of the, and they have traits just like players. There's bags of traits, and they've got a couple hit points. Damage is just everybody by default deals one unless there's something else to it. Okay, so two security drones. We're getting some initiative, so it's going to roll to see if it can go before them. Let's see. He doesn't have any sort of advantage on that, so he just rolls 2d6 to see if he can go before the security drones. Yep, okay, he makes it. Okay, so Nikola's going to go first. He is going to move in to near range with them so he can attack them with melee. So he slides right up at the security drones, pulls out his blade, and is going to try to hit the one. I'm just going to give them both one hit point. They're just mooks. So let's see. He's going to swing. Let's see. He's got... So you can take two actions, right? The one is the move, and then the other one is going to be the attack. So he's going to attack on the one, and he's got a cool thing that may come into play if he can hit him. Let's see. So because he's got a proficiency in light melee, he gets to roll two dice. With his range, unfortunately, he's going to have 1d6 because he's not as proficient with that. And he hasn't mastered any yet, which would give him advantage. All right. Okay, so he hits the one, and here's the cool thing. He's got a trait, so he swings his blade through the one, chops the one security drone in half that is near the other one. He's got an ability called Cleave. When you attack an enemy and they go to zero hit points or less, you get an extra attack with disadvantage. So he cleaves the one and is going for the backswing on the other one, rolling 1d6. Ah, got him! Got him! He comes on the backhand, boom, cleaves through the other one. Continues running down the hall to the bridge. All right, he makes it to the bridge. He's going to switch out to pull out his carbine. And he's going to check the door to see if it's locked. Is the door locked? It probably is, but let's see if the door is locked. No, okay, it's not. And it's favorable, fairly favorable here. So the door's not locked. He hears the sound of commotions in there. There's small explosions going on. There must be some sort of damage that they've sustained from the attack from the Hivers going on. So that's going to be distracting in there. So he's going to try to just barge in there as quickly as possible. So he's going to hit the door. He's going to switch to his carbine, hit the door, and pop it open. Is our android friend there? Yes, he is. It's somewhat favorable, so he's going to be somewhat armed, but at the moment, he is looking at the control panel. Okay, so he opens up, and he says, drop it right there. I have you dead to rights, and I've taken down a number of your allies, and I have no problem taking one more of you stupid androids out of here. You're going to give me control of the ship. You're going to tell me what's going on here. Why you've invaded our country. Is it just those shadowy things? And if you don't, I swear, I'll send you back to the ones and zeros you came from. So and he's going to... I guess he's going to try to intimidate him. Intimidate the android. Let's see if he can do it. No, it doesn't work. The android just looks at him. And looks like it's trying to laugh. Its head cocks a little bit. And instead of a laugh, it starts his laugh and it kind of turns into a beep and then just like a white noise sound as he's twitching and sparking a little bit. there's something weird going on here. Let's see. I think there's something else going on here. Let's see if we can figure out what it is. We can try to perceive it. There's something hidden that he hasn't seen yet. Okay, yeah, he definitely gets it. All right, let's see what it is. Let's see. We could ask a yes or no question. We might be able to use one of these other tables on here sort of to see what it is. Maybe it's Yeah, let's see. Maybe it could be something like we'll use maybe this challenges table. We could do it that way. Challenges 6. Solve a crime or mystery. Okay. So there's something else going on here he sees. And it's just to solve a crime or mystery. Huh. He's looking around in the cockpit. And I think that there is... Because why would he be malfunctioning? I think he decides that it's got to be sabotage. Something has sabotaged these aliens in the ship. It's not just the Hivers. Maybe there's something that's... Yeah, okay, there's something malfunctioning for sure on the ship. They were sent here to do a job, but maybe they weren't sent here to destroy this stuff. Maybe they were sent here for another purpose. We need to figure that out. But either way, this android is not cooperating, and he is hostile. So Nicola's got to see if he can go first here. He can, okay. So he's going to take a shot. He's disadvantaged 1d6. Gonna take a shot with the carbine. We're going to give this android, I think, 3 hit points because he's already malfunctioning. All right, so Nicola's going to take a shot with the carbine. Shoots, misses. For his second move, he's going to evade. I believe. So the way evasion works, if he gets hit, he can take a disadvantage test, and if he succeeds, then he doesn't take the damage at all. All right, let's see. Is the android going to attack, or is he going to do something else? I'm going to roll a 1 through 3. He attacks. Okay, yeah, 1. He's going to just decide to attack. He looks desperate. He's going to come up and try to smack Nicola. So that's a movement and an attack. He's going to move up. Okay, he hits. So now Nicola is going to, because of his bait, he gets to roll a d6 and see if he can block it. He does not. Okay, so Nicola takes a hit point of damage. He's got 6 hit points total normally, so he's got 5 right now. Android comes up, punches Nicola. Okay, well, Nicola is going to take one of his actions then just to pull out his blade, and he's going to try to attack this android back. Oh, wait. I forgot. I am a brawler, so I get 2d6 evade. So I missed on that one. I'm going to roll another d6 and see if he would have succeeded. He would have. Okay, great. So he doesn't even take that damage. So the android comes up. He almost connects, but Nicola is able to grab the fist and sort of move with the flow, very tai chi, you know, kind of way, move with the flow and move slightly out of the way. He's going to spend an action now to pull out his blade and see if he can slash the android. He misses, though. Let's see. Yeah, then one of his moves is pulling out the weapon. Android's going to try to punch back again now. He misses. Nicola is going to really focus in on this, so he's going to aim up his attack, take a breath in, and as he exhales, he's going to swing for the shot here. So because he focuses, he gets to roll with advantage. Okay, yeah, he hits this android. The android's gonna take a damage. Android staggers back a little bit. Let's see, does he stick on the attack or does he move to the environment? 1 through 3, he stays on the attack. Okay, he's gonna move into the environment. He's gonna move and try to let's see, what is he gonna do? Oh, I know what he's gonna do. He's gonna turn life support off. Although Nicola has a vac suit on. So he's going to turn the lights out. That's what he's going to do. He turns the lights out, and Nicola sees, like, to where the android's eyes are. They light up blue. They just look totally blue. There's no pupils or anything left, just blue light, and they blink, and they go out. Okay. So Nicola's going to have to try to figure that out, or he's going to have to... Let's see, because even if he focuses, he's still going to have disadvantage with the darkness here. So he's going to have to try to figure something out like that. I think... All right, for one action, he's going to try to see if he can find where the lights are. That's going to be a perception check. Okay, yep, he can see where the mechanism is. It's lit up. Let's ask the Oracle. Is it on the other side of the android, though? Nicola doesn't have to know that, but is it on the other side of the android? No, okay. So, Nicola, is it in range, though? No, okay, it's not in range. So he can move up a little bit, and then he's going to evade. So he can't make it all the way, but he can move over across the ship and start to evade. The android's going to come in and try to attack. The android can see, Nicola can't see, so I'm going to say that gives the android advantage. Because I'm a glutton for punishment, apparently. Okay. Yeah, so it hits. Nicola tries to evade, though. Dodge out of the way, see if he can hear the punch coming. But he's not able to dodge out of the way. So now he really has taken that damage. Ugh. It hits him, but fortunately Nicola now is able to hit the button, which turns on the light. That's one of his actions. The other one, he's going to take a swing at this android. Give him the what for. But he rolls snake eyes. And I am going to use the optional rule, sort of an optional rule for crits, for fumbles and for, you know, crit successes. Both of my dice rolled up with ones, so that means I critically fail here. So he goes to swing, and the android is able to block it. The blade flies out of his hand halfway across the cabin here. So that's not going to do him any good. All right, it's this android's time. He's got all the advantage here, and he is going to... Yeah, I think the android's going to go for broke. He's going to attack twice. First attack. That's a hit. Let's see, was Nicola still evading? Yeah, Nicola did an attack and an evade, I believe. It's hard to keep, again, I get stupid brain when I'm on the air. But anyways, the second attack would be a miss. So Nicola's going to try to evade, but he's not able to. Takes another hit. The android swings twice, connects once. Okay, let's see, what can Nicola do? I think... could possibly do here. He's gonna have to try to move towards the door, move out of range, and while he's doing so, he's gonna pull out his carbine and look back and take a shot at the android. That's just 1d6, right? Because he doesn't have proficiency in the carbine. Oh, but he hits him though. Okay, hits the android. The android's got one health left. All right, but he's not evading anymore. Okay. Now, is the android going to keep up with the attack, or do something environmental? 1 through 3, he keeps up the attack the way it is. Okay, yeah. So he's just going to come, again, charging at Nicola. He's going to move up, and he's going to attack. That is a hit. Nicola's not evading. Down 3 hit points, man. Nicola's taking a serious beating from this darn android. Time must be getting wearing on as well. All right, Nicola's really got to do it now. He's going to have to make a mad dash for his sword, or let's see. Okay, I think he's gonna, Yeah, he's gonna have to make a mad dash for the sword. So I'm gonna see if he can get around the android this way. Because the way they're in the doorway, I'm gonna have to, I think it's not gonna be just movements. He's gonna have to make a test. Actually, he's just gonna try to shove the android enough out of the way. He actually has a thing for this. He gets advantage on brute force. He's just going to try to shove the android, not to hurt it, but enough out of the way that he can run over and get his sword. All right. He gets it, so he runs over. He grabs the sword. That's going to be his other action. The android is going to do keep up the attack the way it is. Yes, he is. He's going to move up, try to punch Nicola again. He does not succeed. Nicola now has his blade and the android in his sights. Let's see. He says, I wonder if you can feel pain. If not, there's always a first time for everything. And he swings twice. First swing. Hit. which is enough to kill it, but I want to see if he can kind of overkill it. Yeah, he would hit on both. So he swings and chops one of the androids' arms off, then comes back down and cleaves right through the head, splits it in two. Okay. Then Nicola runs over to the console, hits the communicator with the Hiver ship. Hiver ship, this is Nicola. The ship is under control. I repeat, the ship is under control. I have control of the ship. Okay. Immediately, he's going to try to look through the computers and see if there's any other registered androids on the ship. There were several that were incapacitated. Are there any others that are online on the ship? Ask the Oracle. No. Okay. In fact, it shows... Yeah, every single one of the ones that was on the ship has been disabled or destroyed completely. Okay. Now, to look through the ship's records. Were they really here just to... Were they really here just to destroy whatever the monstrous that's been showing up, this sort of infection that's been showing up on these ships? Was that it? Yeah, okay. That is what their mission was. It's fairly strong. So yeah, that was really their only mission. So where was the sabotage from? Nicola's going to try to see if he can figure that out. See if he notices anything. This is not an investigation role. There's a separate trait for that. So he's not going to just get the answer, but he'll get something. Maybe he can piece it together. Let's see. Okay, yeah. He's able to perceive something. What is he able to perceive? Let's see. Let's see if we can figure it out. Okay, does it have to relate to an NPC? Because I have an idea of what it might be. Does it relate to an NPC that we've already met? No, okay, so it's not that. It's not related to an NPC. So let's see. Let's maybe roll on the meetings prompt here. It's a world prompt, but I think it might work for us here. Or, actually, let's roll on the requests, which is a 2d6 table. 10. Retrieve resources or personal property from a dangerous or poorly explored area. Oh. Oh, interesting. Oh, okay, I know what this means. At first, Nicola is worried that, like, maybe Maggie's forces caught up to him. Does she have a hand in this? He still doesn't trust her after all this time, because they were going to try to flee, and this whole thing has happened here. But I think what he discovers is... A signature that he recognizes, not from his days in the merchant fleet necessarily, although maybe a little bit, but something from his family's past. Ooh, okay, yeah. He finds evidence that the Imperium, remember this is not the Third Imperium, but there's some sort of empire here, or the Confederacy, I guess is what it is, the Confederacy of Planets. Again, not related to any sort of history on anything, it's just a loose Confederacy of Planets, so disclaimer there. But the Confederacy of Planets indeed has its markings on this ship. It's clearly their markers from sabotage, and not only that, but in the logs buried deep in there, eventually Nicola is able to find evidence that specifically the crew came from his family. His house, the Bratislav house, is directly responsible for sabotaging this ship. And not only that, the records have been on there for a while. His family has known about these androids for a while, long enough to get this deeply embedded in their systems. Man, that would be normally a great place for a cliffhanger, but I have to keep going. We have to keep going and see what comes up. Okay. Nicola is going to look to see what is sort of the next available planet, because he's got crew members he's got to take care of here. He's going to send all of that over to the Hivers, but he's not going to include the part about the Bratislav house. That part he's keeping to himself. Okay. We've got some random tables in this book, and some of them we can use to determine like enemies, settlements. I think we can even do space stations, cities. Let's see if we can do... Let's see what we can do here. Maybe there is... Let's see. Maybe the settlement table? Or no, let's do the planet table. That's a 3d6 roll. So what's the closest planet that he can find? And we'll figure out how many jumps it is in a minute. closest planet is on 3d6. That's a 12. It's a water world. Most of the planet's surface is covered with deep oceans. Okay, he's able to find the closest planet, much like one they experienced before with the androids. It's the closest planet. Let's see, though. Does he see any evidence that it is... Well, does he recognize it from... Like, is it part of the Confederacy of Planets? Let's see here. No, it's not. And actually, there's a turn here. So he's looking through. It's not a planet that he's recognized. We don't know how long it is, but there's a turn that happens. So let's see. It's threes again. So a helpful non-player character suddenly arrive. Helpful non-player characters. I think that... Okay, yeah. There's another human ship that arrives. It's not from... Let's see. You know what? It's a merchant ship arrives. And they tell Nicola that they were hailed specifically by the Hivers. They're here, and they will pick up, actually, the crew of the Francesco. They're pretty much all injured except for, or dead, except for Nicola. Let's see. Nicola, I don't think he can man this ship on his own, can he? I mean, it was an android ship. Maybe a lot of it's automated. No, he's not going to be able to man it on his own. So he is going to... let's see. He'll see if this merchant ship can take him there. Let's see. That's the closest... Maybe he doesn't need to go to the closest planet, though. But he decides... No, he decides there's something about it. There's something about that planet or that outpost he needs to take a look at. So he's going to get the planet to drop him off. He's going to get ready for... another mission. This one, he's going to go alone. Let's see. How many jumps is it? How many weeks does it take for this to happen? It takes 6 weeks. That's how far they were at the edge. They move much more into space. So it is still... that's a good question, though. Are they even headed in that direction normally? It would take 6 weeks to get there. It's sort of in that direction. But it's a bit of a hassle. But they are able to take him there, but they can't give him any promises. Actually, on the favorability die, I came up with 2. I'm going to say the reason why, even though this is a traveler thing, I'm going to import it here, is it's because it's a red zone planet. Or is it an amber zone planet? It's a red zone planet. It's got to be a red zone planet. So it's technically illegal for anybody to go there. See, is Nicola? Nicola's, I think. Let's see. Is he able to convince anybody on the merchant crew then to take him? Knowing that, no, he's not. There's just nobody willing to. Like, oh, absolutely not. There's nobody. There's no way they'll do it. So can he get the Hiver ship to do it, or at least give him a shuttle that can, or some way to take him there? No, they're not going to do it either. Same thing. Absolutely not. One, we don't have humans on our ships. No offense, they say, but we keep to ourselves, and we prefer that you respect that, and we're not going to go anywhere near such a planet with such a designation. Even if they don't say if they know anything about it or not, they're not willing to disclose that, but they know that the humans here keep it designated as a red zone planet, so he's not going to be able to go there. So they end up going back to the nearest space station instead. But Nicola thinks there's got to be something about that planet. So let's see here. Let's see if we... I think there's a table here for a space station. So we can see what the space station he ends up on. And maybe can find a way. Maybe can find a way here. Let's see. We got enemies, settlements, cities. And more enemies. Space station enemies. Let's see. We'll use the space station enemies, and we'll just see if we can figure out what kind of space station we're talking about. We're not going to use the enemies per se, but we'll reinterpret the role here. Okay, that's an 11. So, let's see, with an 11, bounty hunters. Okay, so it's sort of a seedy... the way I'm going to read bounty hunters is this is kind of this is a seedy space station. It's big with... Not necessarily... pirates per se, but like privateers, bounty hunters. But it's a very, this is a very fringe space station. That's where the, this merchant ship ended up needing to go anyways. It's not the kind of thing they would maybe go to a lot if they could help it, but it's what they've got. It's what they got to work with. I think that the means is fairly likely then that Nicola will eventually be able to find somebody to take him, to take him to this, this other planet. Nicola's there in the bar there, sipping on a drink. It's probably blue milk or something, you know? And somebody comes up and says, you look like you've seen a lot around. Nicola says, I've seen more than I've bargained for. But at least I'm here in one piece. I gotta roll for something secretly in the Oracle to see if something happens that I'm thinking could happen. Yeah, okay. It is, and it happens. Okay. And he says, yeah, I see. You've seen quite a lot, huh? Well, I've heard that you could maybe require a ship. Let me show you what I've got. And he kind of gestures over for Nicola to follow him. Nicola follows him. He goes through into the hallway. Nicola just starts to think, wait a minute, this isn't the way to the... And then, wham! The guy tries to slug him, so I'm going to make a save test to see, otherwise he's going to get knocked out here. Let's see. Going to get a roll here. 2d6. Yeah, no. Wham! Boom! Nicola gets knocked out. Knocked to the floor. He wakes up. Bright lights. His head's killing him. He's looking up into the bright lights. His eyes aren't able to come quite into focus. He's blurry looking around the room. He sees this big guy that said he had the ship above him. He realizes he's strapped down into a chair. And he sees someone in front of him. So, Nicola, you take my crew, you take my ship. I just want to have a little chat. Just have a little bit of time to catch up. In front of him is Maggie. Ugh. I didn't think I'd see you again. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you didn't think you'd see me again. But I knew. I knew that we'd have this time to catch up. I've been meaning to. Just check and see how are you doing, Nicola. Of course, I see that the Francesco isn't doing very well. I've heard a full report about that. You know, I thought, Nicola, that you would be the kind of person to have a little bit more respect for somebody's personal property. Not only that, but it seems like you failed the whole crew. What few came back in pieces. They had these strange ideas in their head, it seems, that they were going to take the ship, and you were going to take the ship and go somewhere. Now, I'm sure this was just some sort of a deep space fantasy. Deep space fantasy of yours, but, you know, I live in reality, Nicola. I don't live in fantasy. And I think that there's a few things that you owe me. But first things first, you owe me some answers. Yeah, so I think he's going to get smacked around a little bit. Tell me, Nicola. Why did you take so long to report? I sent you on a mission that was so important, you see, for our little corner of space. I'm curious what you know. Now, Nicola, I think, is trying to tell... He's not... He doesn't have the charismatic trait or anything. But he can tell sort of if people are keeping things from him. But more importantly, he can have this sort of situational awareness, I think, with it. Because there's something different. There's a different trait for telling when somebody's lying. But he can tell if stuff sort of is hidden around him. And I think he's going to look for if there's any sort of anything that would give him an advantage when he's going to make his move. His move is not yet, but he's going to try to make it at some point here. So let's see if he looks around the room to see if he can see anything. But he can't see anything. Oh, don't worry, Nicola. There's no way of you escaping from this room. No, not until I get what I want. And then I'll decide maybe what to do with you. Maybe I'll send you out. You can be with the Francesco out in space. It remains to be seen. But you need to be useful to me. Maggie, listen. There are things out here. There are... What kind of things? Well, there are things out here that are... Well, there have been more of the androids, certainly. Yes, yes, I'm aware of the androids. But there's something more, Maggie. There's some sort of substance. There's something that's been infecting ships and the sort of the hivers, these other creatures that we found. Let's see, does Maggie react to the hivers as if she doesn't know about them? No, she doesn't. She must be fully aware of them. I'm familiar with the hivers. Continue. It's been infecting these ships. They horrible growths, and it's nearly impossible for us to escape. Many didn't. The androids, they've been here trying to destroy the androids. Does she react to this? Does she know already about this stuff? Yeah, she does. She says, "Oh, I'm aware of that. But you see, I believe that you found something else out. There's something that you're not telling me." I don't know anything else. Well, come closer. We'll see if Maggie comes closer. Does she come closer? He's like, I don't want anybody else to hear about this, so only you should be able to have this advantage. Does she go for it? Yeah. Okay. She really goes for it. So she comes closer, and he says, "I never cared for you anyway." He's gonna try to headbutt her, as sort of an attack here, just long enough to get out of here. So it's not really as much about attacking to do damage per se, but maybe he will do a little bit of damage. But he's at a disadvantage for sure. Normally, he has advantage because it's a brute force thing. But the disadvantage here cancels out the advantage, because there's no xenotech or anything involved here. He's not able to pull it off. She moves back at the last second. I thought you were smarter than that, Nicola. I really did. I'm not sure that I have any more use for you. At least for now. The guy comes over again. Wham! Boom! Punches him again. He blacks out. And I think that's where we're going to end it for this episode. A little bit of a shorter one. But man, one of the things that's fun about Tiny D6 is you can really cram a lot in a short period of time. There's a lot of stuff happening. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Let me know what you think about it. What do you think about the episode? Let me know what you think about Tiny Frontiers Revisited? One of those? Revised. Tiny Frontiers Revised by Alan Barr. Really cool. I think it's a really cool system. It works really well for solo because it's light, but it's got other stuff you can layer on. You can always make rulings over rules, all kinds of stuff. Really can't recommend it enough. It's got some random tables in there. Very, very, very cool. We'll see you next time for the next episode of Subclass Act.